You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
A week is a long time in football, Callum. This time last week, we were sitting down discussing a very dreadful 0-0 draw against Hamilton. Move forward, fast forward a week, here we are discussing, or a way to discuss, the managerial position at Aberdeen, and we'll be joined by one of the names listed on Skybet.
Yep, a very, very chaotic week, and it's all changed. As you say, a week's a long time in football.
Yeah, and, you know, here was us scrambling to try and get to 300 subscribers on YouTube. We've now hit 360, and that last video that we uploaded just shy of 1,500 views. And even last week, we just fell short of 1,000 listens in the week. So pretty mental.
Very, very mental. And we had a mental week, but one of the viewers and listeners will be having an even more mental Friday. Owen Harper got in touch with us on the Twitter page at RTG_podcast. You can follow us there as well. Saying, any chance you could mention this little charity run? I say little, a massive charity run him and his mate Dean Sutherland are doing to raise money for Scottish Association for Mental Health. What it is they're doing is running 4 miles every 4 hours for the duration of 48 hours. I'm not going to be the one to do the maths, but that's a lot of running. That is a lot of running. And maybe Glenn would have been better to do the maths given his private education, but not me. So what I will be doing is I'll be leaving all the information to that, the Just Giving page and things, in the description of the YouTube video below. They've already raised over $3,000. It's a lot of money for a very, very good cause. But if you can, anyone tuning in, feel free to get down involved in that and raise a little bit more money for a very worthy cause.
Yeah, and we will retweet the link from Owen back on our Twitter page again. You're actually outnumbered on the private education. Ross Nicholson, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
15 minutes of fame last week that all went a bit crazy. For those that maybe have been living under a rock since Derek McInnes got sacked, do you want to kind of explain how your 15 minutes of fame came about?
Yeah. Basically, one of my pals messaged Skybet asking for odds on myself along with all the other managers that really came out, and Sky bought it thanks to a New Zealand international goalkeeper. And there I was, 7-1, third favourite somehow.
How did it feel seeing yourself at 7-1 ahead of some quite big names?
It was brilliant. At first it was brilliant thinking about it, and then I saw who was ahead of me, and then it was just mad, and then the whole thing just really blew up. It was just nuts.
Yeah, it's been, we almost had to decide if we need to go through an agent to get you on. You know, you've got local radio, national radio. Yeah. It's been pretty hectic for you.
Yeah.
But no call from Dave Cormack yet, no?
No, still very disappointed. I thought he might have got in touch. Obviously a busy man, the way things are going at the moment. So I'll keep waiting.
Yeah, and Callum, you know, given they're like kind of, they like to get good publicity, you know, you thought something that might have been the club might have followed up on, even if it was a joke.
Yeah, I figure they might have capitalized, but to be fair, as I said, they might have had to go through an agent, the amount of different radio shows and things you were going on, Ross.
But you know, if Dave Cormack doesn't want to give you an interview, Ross, Callum, I think it's only fair that we give him his own interview.
I think so, we'll see how it goes.
Just to see, you know, how your credentials might have matched up to the manager job. So Ross, I know we're going to spring this on you, but we've come up with a few questions that we think the club might have asked. So
right.
I'll kick it off. How would you bring about entertaining football to Pittodrie?
I think starting with it, I think it would just need to be a new, fresh lift of tactics, ideas, the way the team play. I think it's fair to say the way the team have been playing in recent times has been bland, boring, and quite frankly, just not what a fan wants to be watching. So yeah, just a new change, I think.
Yeah, and a follow-up to the entertainment from board director Jonathan Bain, asking whether or not you would play off conventional 4-4-2 or revert to three at the back with wing-backs that we currently see.
I would go back to the kind of 4-2-3-1 that Derek McInnes kind of played last season. Mm-hmm. I just think it worked out so much better, and this team just seemed to be able to play proper football. Whereas playing three at the back, and I don't think it takes a genius to realise Considine, Taylor and Hoban, they're not exactly the most quick and energetic centre-backs, even though they are. We have been keeping clean sheets, but again, we haven't been scoring. But no, I think it needs a four at the back, because I just don't think the way we're playing at the moment is working.
That's good to hear your thoughts there. And with a limited budget due to COVID, how prepared would you be to give youth a chance?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. One thing I've always thought is that if I was to take the team, I'd want to see Lewis Ferguson more up the pitch, really. I want to see him in the kind of like cam role behind the striker. So that would probably make a place for the types of people like Mikko Vertanen to come in. And then Ethan Ross, again, we all saw what he did at Wraith. It would be a step up for him, but I guess it's a change, really, and it'll bring something new to what we've been playing recently.
Obviously, given you said you'll bring a nice, exciting brand of football to Pittodrie, is there any other ways you can see yourself improving the club?
I just think motivate the players would be important, because it just seems like they don't really have much motivation at the moment, the way that really results have been coming out. And just be realistic with them about like cups and the league position in like Europe. Because I mean, we should be challenging for the league the way things are going in cups as well. And everybody wants to see us in Europe too.
Mm-hmm. I respect one answer there. I think Glenn would agree there. Yeah. Just finally, anything else that makes you stand out as a candidate ahead of others, perhaps?
I think it's fair to say I'd be an unknown character. Yeah. Somebody new, no previous anything to lay back on for anybody, and I just think new approaches really could be taken to change tactics, formations, rather than, I think, well, if another manager was to come in, I think people would know how they played our team, really.
Yeah, and that was your PA, James Clydesdale, that put forward that question. And I think, Callum, am I right in saying that we've got Dave Cormack there that wants to give his thoughts on that little interview from Ross?
Sorry, that's him just on the line now.
Absolute crap.
Right, well, that's Ross had his time in the spotlight, and we've kind of done a little bit of grilling, but what we thought we would get Ross to do is kind of give an alternative opinion from another fan, because sometimes you might be just sick of hearing me and Callum's opinions on everything.
Wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't blame them at all.
No. So what we're going to do for the rest of this part of the show is go through kind of some of the names that have been mentioned around the managerial job and kind of hear thoughts about them, whether it's realistic, not so realistic. And then later on in the show, we will look forward to the match on Saturday against Dundee United. So first of all, I suppose we should kind of look, Callum, at the biggest name that's been linked, the current favourite for the job, Stephen Glass, and the subsequent rumours on his coaching staff that is being kind of drafted up, Scott Brown being linked to that. What's your thoughts when that rumour circulated?
Stephen Glass is the sort of name that's been bandied around quite a lot, which is no surprise given the Atlanta link with Dave Cormack, etc. What we didn't expect was some of the other names that would come along with it. First, this Sven-Göran Eriksson as well. Let's not forget about that. That was very odd. But Scott Brown, I've seen people saying maybe it'll bring a winner to the club, you know, the winning mentality. But it would just be so wrong and weird, especially if he's player slash like a coach. It would be very odd.
It would be very weird to see him in an Aberdeen strip, let alone standing in the dugout. But Ross, for you, do you kind of echo that thoughts that it's kind of wrong to see Scott Brown involved with Aberdeen?
Yeah, I think just the way the reputation he's got as a Celtic player and like his behaviour when he's played against Aberdeen and just really the person or the player he comes across as, just something you couldn't really see at Aberdeen. At first when the headline came out, I just thought it was just a West of Scotland kind of rumour that you hear getting thrown out. But when I looked more into it, I never realised him and Stephen Glass were actually quite good friends. So if it was to happen, I don't think it would go down well. But I
kind of agree. I don't think it will go down well. But do you think we need that? Do we need a prick's prick? You know, we're missing that sort of mentality. But is Scott Brown that person?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because as the way reading about it, coming in as a player assistant, I just don't think it'd be right. And I'll be perfectly honest, thinking about him in an Aberdeen shirt just makes my skin crawl. I just think it would be wrong. I think there'd be a lot more people I'd probably put ahead of it than Scott Brown. But again, the fans can only have so much opinion really about it.
And then Callum, I suppose, you know, we've talked about before McInnes's departure, kind of the importance of season ticket sales. If McInnes was prolonged in the job, surely Dave Cormack's kind of seen the reaction on social media to this link rumour, what we should say. I don't think that would be a popular one in terms of selling season tickets, do you?
Perhaps not, but if it was to be before, I suppose Scott Brown wouldn't come in at the end of the season. I don't think it would get many people on board. It would be dangerous. It'd be a dangerous game to play by Mr. Cormack. The whole Stephen Glass thing alone is a bit questionable, given he's not had that much experience as a manager himself. But that would be just another dimension to it that they'd have to consider.
I think the Glass thing's questionable in itself, given his managerial record, let alone before you even say that he's a close friend of Dave Cormack's. And I don't know how that sits with many people, you know, kind of giving your friend a quite important job for us, many of us would view as an important job. So it'll be interesting to see how those rumours develop over the coming weeks, if it's going to be before the end of the season or at the end of the season. It's certainly one that's got some traction. Richard Gordon, I think, was mentioning it on Sports Sound at the weekend. So, yeah, definitely one to watch this space with, I think, a lot of nerves.
It'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Definitely. Now, over the weekend as well, there's been some movement in the market. Unfortunately, Ross, I think you've drifted totally out,
Removed. Yeah, I think I got removed on Thursday.
Yeah, quite sad state of affairs. As I think McBookie said, they should have just changed your name to Barry and claimed it as a typo. You know, we kind of said this in the episode where we kind of talked about McInnes leaving Calum. Your Stephen Robinson that is still kind of hovering around there. Jim Goodwin's been mentioned. What about other names such as Paul Lambert? And we've seen Darren Ferguson's name in the betting come into single figure odds. What's your thoughts around those sort of names?
Paul Lambert, I don't think he had a very easy job at Ipswich, but it's fair to say he didn't do great. Took them down to League One. They weren't in the promotion hunt when he left. I suppose a decent manager perhaps in there, but not shown enough recently for me. Who's the other person you just mentioned?
Darren Ferguson, Alex Ferguson's son.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably literally the only reason he's in there. He's currently employed by Peter Braswell. Would we put towards a financial package, or will we go for a cheap option? That's probably another thing you consider. But as you mentioned, Fergie's son, is that the only reason he's in there? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, Ross, he's got his Peterborough side top of the League One in the hunt for promotion into the Championship. But as Callum touches on there, Stephen Robinson, currently unemployed. Paul Lambert, currently unemployed. Do you think we'll be looking more towards unemployed managers, or should we be pushing that boat out and try and capture a Goodwin, who's obviously just had a new four-year deal at St Mirren?
I think when looking at a manager, you want a winner. You want somebody that knows how to win and has won, or is on a good run of form. And I mean, Darren Ferguson, he's done brilliant with Peterborough, flying high in League One. But again, Stephen Robinson, we saw what he did with Motherwell. I don't know. I think I'm kind of in the thought process now of getting away from Scottish leagues, like managers. I think we'd Aberdeen need to go outside the box and maybe go down in England, maybe go abroad. We need something different because, yes, McInnes came into Aberdeen, did a brilliant job, did everything everybody wanted him to do. Obviously, things didn't go to plan lately. But when you look at our recent run of managers, McGee, Brown, McInnes, it's all branched off the Scottish leagues. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a thought of, do we go out with that? Do we change it up completely?
Yeah, no, it's you know, we've not had to kind of speak about this for 8 years. So it is going to be interesting to see which direction the club goes. My concern around Stephen Robinson is, yes, he did well at Motherwell and, you know, guided them to third place and brought through some of their younger players. But just look how quickly it collapsed this season. Although, you know, he did the respectable thing and acknowledged he'd done his best he can and stepped aside. Callum, Ross speaks there about maybe kind of branching abroad or looking further afield. Mm-hmm. One name that has been mentioned, obviously, given his Aberdeen connections, Sean Maloney, currently working under Roberto Martinez in the Belgium squad. Do you think that's just a bit unrealistic? Or could we maybe wangle something?
I think unrealistic. It would be. I wouldn't be against that sort of appointment, but I think unrealistic going from, as the mighty Slaney said on the Open Goal podcast, working with Kevin De Bruyne and then Andy Considine. It's a lazy comparison, but it's also quite true, let's be honest. I think he will probably be looking at a job in England when he does fancy being the number one. Right now, he's got a very good job learning from a very good manager, working with some of the best players in the world. I don't think Aberdeen will be his next destination.
Do you think, Ross, though, an appointment of, say, a Sean Maloney would excite fans? Or would you rather, if he was to come in, would you rather him under like a director of football?
I think if a player, a person like Sean Maloney was to come in, it's something new. It's a young manager. We all have seen how Gerrard's done at Rangers. I mean, okay, started off slow. Now he's won the league. It wouldn't be a case of Sean Maloney would be coming in and immediately we'd win everything. It would be a time process. But when you think of a player like Sean Maloney, the contacts he has behind him, he's got a massive, massive span of people he could have contacts with, and it could work in our favour. It might not, but as Callum said, would he leave Belgium in that position? Probably not.
No. But you know, it's actually, that's a good point you make. Two good points there, Ross. Especially, I think the first one, and Callum, I think you'd agree. And I suppose we're going to have to remember, we've said this, that time and patience towards a new manager is going to be crucial, because there is a rebuild job required in the summer. So that the new man is going to need time to either make his own mark or get used to the squad he's left with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I agree with the contact point as well. It wouldn't be something that we would probably expect instant success, instantly up there battling with Rangers or Celtic if they're up there next season, for example. But I suppose also what might work in our favour is Celtic are going to go through a rebuild as well. So they're going to need a little bit of time to get things right as well. So that might also work in our favour, might be able to afford them a bit more time in that way too.
Yeah, and I quite like the point that Ross made, like you said there, about the contacts, because I do think that's, you know, got a huge appeal as to why a lot of Rangers are signing a lot of these players, because they're going to want to play under Steven Gerrard. And, you know, they might want to do similar with Sean Maloney. Those of you on social media might have seen last night Robbie Fowler on the God Pod, you know, speaking about quite openly about Aberdeen being a big club and having an attractive job there. Do you think he's had a look at the job at all?
I think he probably has. Going by the way you're speaking about it, because I don't think Robbie Fowler would have that sort of knowledge prior to that kind of thing, because he seemed to know his stuff. And okay, that's probably the bare minimum you'd expect from a sort of pundit, if you could call him that. But given what we've seen up here, and especially English pundits then try to talk about the game up here, most of them have got absolutely no clue out with Celtic and Rangers, if they even know that much about them. So it was very surprising. That would be very far afield sort of appointment, because he's managing in the Southern Indian League or something like that right now. It'd be a bit mental, but maybe he has thrown his hat in the ring. That would be interesting. God versus Gerrard.
Yeah, good to see you've done the research, because I thought he wasn't currently managing after his stint in Australia. So currently 40-1 with the bookmakers. And another former Liverpool player just recently made unemployed by Oldham Athletic was Harry Kewell. He's moved into 14s in the managerial market. So there seems to be a lot of Liverpool connections popping up. But, you know, Ross, something that Callum touched on there about kind of the media's perception of the Aberdeen job and kind of making lazy links or not being knowledgeable. That was the one thing I was impressed with Robbie Fowler, especially when you compare it to Charlie Adams saying that we couldn't go wrong if we appointed Brian Rice as our new manager. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Robbie Fowler, the way he was speaking, he was also switched on with it, and it was almost as if he was trying to put himself basically on the market and say, I want the job. Would I say no or yes? I don't know. I don't know too much about him. I know he had a stint with Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, and then in, I think it was, I thought it was East Bengal maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but again, not the most experience, but it'd been something new. And we can obviously see that the Scottish game is now becoming an attraction of former English players, especially with Gerrard coming up again. So, yeah, I don't know. It could be an interesting thing, him becoming manager. But again, it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and I suppose, Callum, though, the Brian Rice thing is just ridiculous. It's why you should stop giving the likes of Charlie Adam and the Open Goal team so much airtime.
I mean, the Open Goal team can be entertaining, but some of the shite they come out with is just unbelievable. They could be doing worse than going for Brian Rice if they're not down the bottom of the league. Okay, yeah, attractive football. But, I mean, it's at Hamilton. They've got to go for it. They're scrapping for points. Ridiculous suggestion from them.
Yeah, and then I suppose just lastly, kind of on the managerial side of things, you know, we've been kind of fans of the Cowley brothers. Given the changes down south in England, Sheffield United losing their manager, Portsmouth as well, I kind of feel that maybe the Cowley brothers will have their eye on those sort of jobs down in England, if Derek McInnes doesn't, if you want to believe the papers. Chris Coleman as well is another name that's been bandied about. And Alex Neil, obviously at Preston, former Scot with the Scotland connection at Hamilton. Callum, do you think any of those are also kind of in the unrealistic category just now?
Those three especially, I'd say maybe they are a touchy unrealistic, but also I'd maybe put them in the category of ambitious. rather than like impossible in terms of happening. And it would be the type of appointment that would excite me, one of those anyway. Mm-hmm. Alex Neil was a name sort of brand around when McInnes had links to Sunderland and Rangers as well, like before he got the Preston job. They would excite me, but again, I'm not trying not to get my hopes up too much before we end up getting Stephen Glass.
Yeah, and Ross, is that kind of the feeling? Do you kind of agree with Callum there that they are ambitious but yet exciting appointments for the club, and as fans, we would be excited by those names? And it is, as Callum says, we've kind of got to be refrained in our excitement when these names get bandied about.
Yeah, definitely. I think the likes of the Cowley brothers, I think with the jobs in England going at the moment, you've got the likes of Portsmouth who will be pushing for playoffs and top of the table positions. That'll probably be an attraction to them. They'd probably maybe think along the lines of English team getting into the playoffs, chance to get into the championship. Alex Neil, I think, is just a bit too, maybe a bit too much. I think we'd probably owe Preston a paycheck for that one. Again, Chris Coleman, something different. That would be some appointment, I think. That would probably be the one that would excite me the most. Just completely something out of the blue just coming in.
Yeah, and you know, do you feel, Ross, there's a rush to make this appointment by the end of the season? Before the end of the season, are you happy for us to kind of play the long game?
Preferably, if I would want us to wait till the end of the season. I think to get a manager in right now with the last game of the season, obviously against Dundee United, and then the split fixtures, would maybe just be a bit of a daft idea, thinking that they would have to come in, try their new ideas when we're trying to get points. If in the summer, if they were to come in, we'd have a whole summer to rebuild. They'd have the summer to come in, get their ideas across. And I think this whole gap that we've now got throughout the split fixtures and the Dundee United, it'll give the likes of Sheeran and Robson the experience that they're obviously after. Again, Paul Sheeran's a name that is thrown in there and might get it. Obviously, depending how we get on now. But I think if we were to rush and appoint somebody now, it would probably be a mistake.
Yeah, Callum, that's one thing I'm kind of worried about, is if we do rush it, I suppose whilst the fight for third is still mathematically possible, is it a risk gambling on, you know, getting a manager with the new ideas? I suppose if we've got somebody lined up, would you then appoint them when third place is out the window and fourth place is secure, and give them two or three games to then work with what we've got to see what the deadwood in the squad is like, whether they want to work with them in the summer? Or, as Ross says, do we just wait until the end of the season?
There is a lot of if, buts and maybes in there right now, basically. I suppose if you were going to appoint someone now, you'd have to be 100% certain that that would be the man you want to take us forward. Obviously, there's no way of knowing that, and it'd be a huge risk for them to not come in, not get third or whatever, not achieve what we want to achieve, and then be left with this manager who couldn't pull off what we thought he could. And I suppose they'd have to go through the whole process of getting to know players and things, whereas maybe it is safer to go with the Sheeran, Robson, Simpson sort of trio that are going to be working with the team right now, because they obviously know the players, and hopefully we'll be able to get what they need out of them so we can finish third. But that remains to be seen, obviously. And as Ross said as well, if Sheeran and that do well enough now, then they could be the people to take us forward. We'll have to see how it pans out. There's a lot of different things you've got to take into consideration right now, and nobody seems to have any answers, and I definitely don't.
No, and I think that's what this discussion has proved on the managerial situation. There is lots of names being bandied about, and there's a lot, as you've said, Calum, ifs, buts and maybes. And right now there's no kind of clear front runner. There's no clear idea. So we'll just have to wait and see. And I suppose, as you both have rightly said, Paul Sheeran starts his potential interview process by leading the squad to Tannadice on Saturday as we take on Dundee United. So ahead of that trip to Tannadice on Saturday then, Callum, do you expect Paul Sheeran to make many changes to the formation or the team in general?
I don't expect him to make many changes to the formation. I hope he does, though, because as Ross mentioned earlier, three at the back with those three. Okay, he's keeping clean sheets, but going forward, absolutely murder. So I'd like to see that change, maybe back to the 4-2-3-1. And Conor McLennan and Ethan Ross in, baby. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Taking the 4-2-3-1 from Ross's managerial interview there. But Ross, do you think that given Paul Sheeran's worked quite closely with Ethan Ross when he was in charge of the reserve team and, you know, youth level, do you think we could see Ethan Ross potentially start on Saturday, or do you think he'll keep it as close to what McInnes had?
I think being in a comfort zone for Paul Sheeran would be keeping it the way as close to what McInnes had. There'd definitely be, we never know, Paul Sheeran could be speaking to McInnes, asking him what would be his opinion on how to play it, but we don't know. But I think starting Ethan Ross, I wouldn't be against. I think it would be a good idea, but again, it's Dundee United, and I mean, the last two times we've played them, I've almost fallen asleep after 20 minutes in both. So we need some form of exciting football. But yeah, I want to see him play. I mean, quick, energetic. I mean,
are you describing Ethan Ross, or just words that couldn't describe how we've been playing this season, basically?
No, I'm trying to describe Ethan Ross.
Okay.
No, I totally agree, Ross. It's what have we got to lose? And, you know, we discussed this after the Hamilton game, Callum. If he doesn't start, please make sure he either comes on, and if he does, please let's make sure he's getting more than 5 minutes, you know, 20, 25 minutes to actually make an impact in this game. But for those of you that are tuning into this episode, you might have listened to Paul Sheeran's interview on Red TV that was released this week. And, you know, Paul didn't really sound convinced in himself that he might be in charge ahead of the weekend. But I got the impression, kind of what Ross alluded to, that there may be some form of communication, or that he is going to keep it as similar to what McInnes has done. So in that sense, I do have a bit of trepidation for the weekend's trip. But it's Dundee United. What do we have to be fearful for? I suppose Lauren Shankland in attack would be one, and Callum Benjamin Seagrest, who was man of the match in their last outing against Celtic. A team that can't score, we've got to go and beat a keeper that's in fine form.
First of all, you said trepidation. That's a big word. Come on, you know me. Keep it simple. Lawrence Shankland, we all know what he's capable of. Obviously, he's maybe not found the step up to the Premiership as easy as he would have liked, but we haven't been great, and he's obviously still got a point to prove. McInnes not there anymore, though, but it would be typical of our luck, even after all this that's gone on, for it to be a 1-0 Dundee United and him to score. But as you mentioned as well, Benji Seagrest, he's been there probably one true shining light over Shankland perhaps this season. We saw him against Celtic, seen him against us. Need to find a way to beat him. And, you know, maybe something, as Ross said, a bit of speed, a bit of exciting attacking talent might be the way to unsettle them and hopefully him.
Yeah, and Ross, I suppose, you know, as Calum kind of alluded to there about Shankland, the Scotland squad's being announced on Tuesday ahead of the March World Cup qualifiers. We don't know, obviously, at the time of recording, we're doing this on Monday night, whether or not Shankland's in or out of the squad. If he's in the squad, he'll be looking at this game as a chance to kind of show Steve Clarke his credentials.
Yeah, definitely. I think for Shankland, on his personal level, he'll just be wanting to do as much as he can to score goals. I don't think he'll be focusing on the way he is playing. It'll just be he needs goals, and as long as he's scoring, I think he's happy. But I won't lie, I'm kind of worried, because I mean, okay, our defence has been, we've been keeping clean sheets there and then, but as Callum said, this could be a typical 1-0 Dundee United, just another dull game. I'm just looking at our recent form away from home, haven't scored in 5. So if I was Aberdeen, I'd be worried about what the threat they could offer us, but yeah, all I'd be worrying about is how to get that ball in the back of the net and pass Seagrest.
Yeah, and it's a big worry for us because we've not done it often enough. You know, the stat man there, Ross, providing some early stats. I'll follow that up for you because, Callum, I know you love the stats on the show.
Mm-hmm.
United in the last six games have had two wins in their last six and have bounced back after their 4-1 defeat at Ibrox with back-to-back draws. And in their last 10 at home, they've only lost three of them, 2-1 defeat to Rangers, and obviously they kind of went through that dodgy spell where they got pumped by St Mirren and then I think it was Hibs after. As Ross alludes to there, you know, we've not got a great record on the road recently. We tweeted out one of the quite alarming stats. We've one win in our last 10, including just the one goal that Callum Hendry scored against Kilmarnock. But equally, it's just one away win in 10. Our last goal was against Ross County, which was also an own goal. That was on the 16th of January, so 2 months ago by the time this episode's released. And Sam Cosgrove was actually the last Aberdeen player to notch an away goal, scoring against Kilmarnock on the 20th of December. So not only, Callum, do we come up against a keeper that has kept two clean sheets against us already, but our away form that was imperious in 2020, I think it's fair to say, has just totally eluded us in 2021.
Very, very, very damning statistics there. Thanks, Glenn. I feel really good about the game now. Brilliant. Really up for it.
I'm sure Fraser Wallace will be delighted at those enjoyable stats, as always.
I'm sure. I would love the big shitting Dons to be back on the pitch. We saw a little bit off the pitch this weekend. I would love with the banner. I mean, that's what I'm alluding to in case anyone's a bit confused. But I would love the big shitting Dons to be back. I was to throw caution to the wind, absolutely blow them out of the park, go at them, see what they're made of, because they've not been great this season either. I think they're sitting eighth right now, is it? I think
very, very meh.
I would love for us to have a go at them, see what they're made of, test them out, test Benji Seagrass as much as possible.
But you know, they've gone,
will it happen though?
Who knows? But you know, eighth, first season back up in the Premiership, they'll probably be happy to consolidate their place ahead of next season. Ross, from an Aberdeen point of view, you know, you've made your point about the stats. I've kind of gone a bit more in depth into them, but just you look at Flo Camberi last week, we thought ideal opportunity for him to open his scoring for Aberdeen. That chance that passed him by, I still can't believe it. But
yeah.
How important is this weekend for him? And again, I called him a ghost in last week's game. Callum Hendry, I know he scored for us against Kilmarnock, but he's not offered enough for me in recent weeks.
Yeah. No, I think Camberi, I mean, Hornby being out, I'll be perfectly honest, I don't think much of Hornby. I just see him as another really lump up front like Cosgrove. Doesn't really, just kind of touch, just immediately loses the ball. But no, I think with Camberi, I think obviously playing in Switzerland, I don't think he was maybe getting all the game time he would want. But I think he's one of these players that when he scores, he will just keep going. And yeah, Callum Hendry, I think that was just a bit of a panic loan. And he's just come in as really like a cover. He scored a great header. But no, I think Camberi needs his teammates more to do his work, and he'll get in the positions. I think we've seen he's a physical striker and he can make those runs and create opportunities for himself. But it's all down to what the rest of the team do, because we've seen the state of our set pieces recently. They've been absolutely shocking. That Niall McGinn one at Celtic, it's just horrible. it's just horrible. I think once Camberi starts scoring, I think he won't be able to stop, but he needs to do it soon because it could be too late.
Yeah, we're running out of games
very
quickly, but it's an interesting point Ross makes, Callum. It's something we've talked on countless times, midfield and the importance of the midfield in a successful Aberdeen. If we dominate the midfield, hopefully that can equate to success. We saw, as Ross said, you know, Camberi needs the support of his teammates. Ferguson supported him well in the Kilmarnock game. Hopefully we can see some more of that this weekend.
Hopefully we can see some more of that from Ferguson, but also the others around him, whether it's Campbell or McCrory, who's in there alongside him, whoever, they need to be making those brave runs, getting forward in support as well. And whoever is starting out wide, everyone knows by now who we're wanting to start out wide. But regardless, even if it is McGinn and Kennedy, they need to be providing much better service, making things happen, because it's just not been happening at all so far this season. And we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are. And it's kind of getting to the stage, if we fail to win on Saturday, we can almost definitely kiss goodbye to third place. Well remembered about Dean Campbell in midfield, do you think he will start over Dylan McGee at Calum on the weekend?
I hope so. A local lad, first of all, that obviously gives brownie points immediately. But he has looked really, really good in recent weeks. He seemed to be sort of growing into a game, and then he gets dropped, which was very, very bizarre. So if he can pick up from where he left off, that would be brilliant. And a good time as any. He's got a point to prove as well. As I said, throw caution to the wind, and hopefully we can see the brave Dean Campbell that we all know and I definitely love.
And I suppose, again, Ross, that's another player that Sheeran will have worked closely with. Just, you know, like Callum says, you know, we're big fans of Dean Campbell. What's your opinion on Dean Campbell? Do you think he's a player that should be starting this weekend ahead of Dylan McGeek as well?
A bit 50-50. They're two completely different players, in my opinion. McGeek can take the ball, he can run with the ball, he can distribute it. Campbell just sitting in that holding defensive midfield position, reads the game well for such a young guy. And I think, yeah, he is a pivotal player with the way we're playing. But again, should either of them play, which they probably will, that, as I've pointed on before, could allow Ferguson to move forward, could allow us to have that more creativity behind the striker. So no matter who plays out of the two of them, they've just got to do their job and just got to get the midfield rolling, because if those kind of players aren't, then the ball just doesn't get distributed properly. And they just need to be aware. I've noticed recently in the past, the midfielders are half asleep when the other team's attacking. And then it gets left to the defenders. And as I've said, our defenders aren't quick. They're not the most versatile players. And when you've got pacey strikers, like certain teams do, then that can really hurt us, like we've seen.
Yeah, and we've seen Shankland's pace hurt us previously, although, you know, it's not yielded goals. I think, was it the Barry hit Tawdry? But, yeah, it's a good point, Ross. You know, the pace can hurt us, but I suppose, on the other hand, you know, there's a reason why we've got our second most clean sheets in the league.
Yeah.
Something's working despite being vulnerable to pace.
Yeah.
Against United, though, Calum, you know, you said my last stats were depressing. We are actually unbeaten in our last six games against Dundee United, albeit there was quite a gap given Dundee United's time out of the top flight. In our last games, eight games, only one of these has had both teams have scored in. So it's normally quite cagey affairs. And that was the Cup game in February of 2018. And the six of those games, there's been two or less goals. So for those of you that are expecting goals, well, I don't know why you're expecting them from Aberdeen in the first place, but it's not going to be, I think, a high-scoring affair, it's safe to say, on Saturday.
I'm really hoping that everything's wrong. You're wrong, statistics are wrong. Everything, but I can't see it happening. I've got a feeling it will be another drab affair. I just hope that we can come out on top, because God knows we do need it. A win going into the split can be good for confidence, especially, well, maybe faith in the new management team as well. But it's not gonna be a classic. None of the Aberdeen games have been a classic this season, other than maybe the 3-3 against Celtic.
Yeah, and you know, United's last win against us was at Tannadice, the 1-0 win when Robbie Muirhead scored after 13 minutes to effectively end our title challenge that season. Obviously, Celtic were due at Pittodrie the week after, so if we'd won that game, it would have kept things a bit interesting towards the end of the season. But just on Calum's point there, Ross, do you kind of believe that we need that a positive performance, let alone a positive result going into the split, because obviously we don't know how the fixtures are going to pan out. Livingston and Hibs play each other this weekend as well, so you know, hopefully a favour from the plastic pitch this weekend.
Yeah, this could prove to be one of the most important games of our season, because obviously going to Tannadice, I mean, God knows what will happen. I'm not expecting much, but again, Livingston, they went on a great run under Martindale. Hibs aren't in the best position right now. A lot of Hibs fans aren't liking Jack Ross, aren't liking his style of play, so hopefully they can do us a favour. But again, just like it always happens with Celtic, if Aberdeen go and drop points, chances are Livingston will win. So we just need to make sure that Aberdeen win and Livingston win, because it always seems to happen with Celtic. Aberdeen drop points and somehow they do as well. We just can't capitalise on it.
Yeah, I think that was the most disappointing thing at the weekend. Obviously, Callum, we spoke about needing 6 from 6 in these games. We should really stop making points predictions because they go terribly wrong.
Ever since we started this bloody podcast, everything's gone wrong.
We had a few good ones. But, you know, the Hamilton, not beating Hamilton in our last two meetings with them is really what's going to cost us this season. But we're, as Ross says, we're now at the point where we're needing favours. It's quite desperate.
It's a very sad state of affairs. And whenever we've had favours, as Ross said, we've not capitalised on it. So let's see if we can maybe take destiny to our own hands. I'm not confident about it.
No. I was going to say, well, we do a prediction, but given how bad the predictions were last week, I think we'll avoid that. Ross, I think, well, thanks for taking the time out to join us and kind of tell your story on getting yourself involved in the managerial race, but also giving an alternative view, just different to, you know, myself and Callum's views on not only the managerial race, but the weekend's game. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And Callum, thanks again. It's been a good show.
Thank you very much again. Thanks, Ross. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, like the video, comment down below with your thoughts too. Follow us at RTG_podcast or wherever you're listening to. And check out Owen and Dean's Just Giving fundraiser and link down below as well.
Podcast Network.